47. Unwavering Resolve.
It is my hope that you seek as many of these creatures as possible. Bring them to your menageries in no small number.
From Kulvinar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, end note. Unfortunately, the Arpranist had not healed all of Vayum's wounds.
If only Orithisian hadn't killed...
Sharp pain shot through her left shin as she crawled onto Tartalim's 31st floor. Her shoulder had fallen back into place, but the joint was still sore. Gritting her teeth, she dragged herself from the stairs. Her satchel lurched beside her, its contents rattling. She had been lucky to find it among the debris after Orithisian destroyed the camp. She supposed Kalamir must have taken it from the tower, but hadn't had the time to transfer it with the supplies. Retrieving it had been a struggle, as was her descent. But she could not fail her emperor. Sharp pain surged through her leg.
Will fulfill.
She screamed as another spike of pain spread up her thigh, and her toes became cold. Her breathing quickened, and she struggled to slow her breath.
The...
She pressed her head against the cool floor.
Mandate.
Then a wave of pain consumed her, and she closed her eyes against it. Once the pain receded and became bearable, she looked down the hall. The closest door was open. It was enormous and reached to the ceiling, a circular opening almost as wide as Tartalim's shifting halls.
Go.
She clenched her jaw and pulled herself across the floor.
Don't.
The pain surged and she screamed, but she forced herself forward. Vayum felt as if an eternity had passed before she neared the door. The chamber beyond the opening was square, and at its heart stood an enormous cylindrical crystal wreathed in a golden framework. The crystal and its framing barely hovered above the floor and nearly touched the ceiling. Inside it was an oblong silhouette that had a hint of red to it. If the crystal was like the others she had seen, then Vayum couldn't know for certain until she was closer. She fought against the pain and continued through the vast door. A dark red sinuous shape wrapped around the silhouette while the outline of dark talons became visible near its bottom. Once halfway across the chamber, the beating of wings carried into the room. Had Orithisian triumphed over the others? But the halls were too small for a divine being to spread their wings. Vayum pushed herself forward as the flapping grew louder. A gust pressed against her, and she screamed. Something brown circled the crystal, while a flash of maroon and gold landed in front of her. A man barred her path, wearing a maroon robe with golden armor melded into it. He held an intricate staff in one hand and planted it beside him. The staff struck the stone with a high-pitched clang. That brown streak flew from the crystal and landed beside the man. It was a Diamsha, but its serpentine body was made of dirt, as if transmuted.
Or transmogrified.
Seems I arrived just in time, the man said. I can't have you freeing any more of Tardalim's prisoners.
Who are...
She winced, struggling to maintain her focus on the man amid her pain. A disappointed grunt left the golden helmet.
And here I thought most Mindalorians recognized me. Eratus, seize her!
The strange Diamsha flew toward Vayum and ripped her from the floor. The jolt made her scream in anguish, and she felt her satchel fall.
No!
She gasped and glimpsed the man lifting the satchel. The Diamsha circled the room, soaring near the crystal. The divine being trapped inside was covered in crimson scales. Vayum lamented her misfortune as the Diamsha swooped to the floor. A flash of maroon and gold sped upward. She searched the chamber, but the man was nowhere within it. The Diamsha turned abruptly and flew into the hall with Vayum still in its clutches.
The air whipped around her, and the extreme pressure made the pain intolerable. Bayham screamed, and the world became a blur. She glimpsed what she thought were stairs, then black figures, and then leafless trees. Brown shapes against a teal background whirled around her, and Bayham felt herself falling. She hit something hard, and her leg cracked. Screaming, she buried her face in what could only be grass.
The roost?
Voices, masculine and feminine, spoke all around her, but she couldn't discern their words. They spoke the divine tongue, unlike that man who had barred her from glory. The voices quieted, and Bayham managed to roll onto her side. Figures in white stood all around her, but she couldn't make out any details. Soon, one knelt beside her and pushed her onto her back. He grabbed her cheeks with his bare hands, and vivid images flashed in Bayham's mind, accompanied by an intruding force. Her vision became clear, and though she was reliving her past, she knew she was gazing into dark brown eyes.
Such wonderful eyes!
The pain fled as joyous memories became present reality. Once more she shared the bed of a thousand lovers. The devotion they gave her was intoxicating. And then came the calling of her emperor, and his behest that she venture to Tartalum to free the gods. She reveled in the task once again and found herself on Sarath. Surges of jealousy clouded memories of their journey. Intense passion flared in her soul as she entered Tartalum, and she yearned to kill that irksome coquette. The visions ended, and the pain returned. A deep and charming voice spoke above her, belonging to the owner of those brown eyes.
"My, such hate you have for Faelunia."
Vayam blinked and reached a hand to activate the euphoronizer.
"Not so fast, Vayam,"
the owner of the charming voice caught her wrist.
"Doris, remove that glove."
The man in maroon grabbed her other hand, yanking the euphoronizer from her. The owner of the charming voice dropped her wrist and walked away, but he was replaced by others, all wearing white armor.
"What say you of her fate, Zulthil?"
asked one taller than the rest.
"We should wait for Ilnari," replied the charming voice. "But she is the architect of this third incursion."
"Then she is deserving of death," another said. "There are three of you here. If you are in agreement, then why wait?"
The tallest one nodded, then spoke an incantation in the divine tongue. Lightning surged around his white gauntlets, condensing and becoming a sword-like shaft. It pulsed and crackled. Its presence made Bayam's hair rise while tingling her skin.
"I am in agreement,"
said the man in maroon. He stood not far from Bayham, his arms folded.
"As am I,"
the charming one said, but with regret in his voice. The tall man twirled the crackling blade. Its tip pointed down.
"Then death it is."
Heart pounding, Bayham struggled. She had to get away, but the slightest movement sent pain up and down her leg. An armored boot struck her stomach, pinning her in place. She writhed in an attempt to break free, but the boot weighed too much, and her pain was too great.
I've failed.
Bayham wailed, watching in horror as the lightning blade raced toward her face. In the hours since Zumel Thessernsar had slain Bayham Rudal, Zulthil had studied Faelunia's mind. He had managed to repair some basic behaviors, including sitting and standing, but she still wobbled as she moved. He had since taken Faelunia to the tower's fourth tier, to a chamber where one could observe Tartalum's past. Shelves lined the walls, but instead of books or scrolls, it held tepis rolls containing the living history of the prison. Those records could be viewed at the room's center, where two divots, perfectly aligned on the floor and ceiling, projected illusory particles.
Such manifestations of magic were so refined that one might not think that the light in front of them were from the channels of power. In addition to those records, the living map of Tardalim could be viewed. Doroth had ventured to this chamber upon arriving at the roost to discover Bayam's location, since the main projection had been destroyed.
If the humans had known about this chamber, perhaps Orathisian would not have escaped.
While sifting through Felinia's memories, Zulthil had activated the map and observed Ilnari and the Cardorthians as they ascended to Tardalim's center.
Ascending to a center, he thought, chuckling.
The Cardorthians had spread throughout the roost when Doroth, Ilnari, and Zumel Thessarinsar entered the observation chamber. Ilnari inquired after Felinia, and Zulthil explained her predicament.
I propose she stays with us. Even if I can mend her mind, sending her away will arouse suspicion.
Do you propose she become one of us? Doroth asked. Zulthil nodded.
But if I fail, she is still our responsibility.
We should keep her here, Ilnari said, glancing to Zulthil's father. She can help. Sucking in his breath, Zulthil began to pace around the room.
I suppose Tardalim's fate is a matter we need to discuss.
I think the three of us are in agreement, Doroth said.
Tardalim cannot remain in its current state despite what you said.
Through his probing of Vayam, Zulthil had discovered the Mandalorians possessed four nullifiers. Three were here in Tardalim.
Surely they'll send another wave, Doroth said, if their actions thus far are anything to judge by. But I don't understand why they would waste their forces.
Their religion, said Zumel Thessarinsar. They were commanded to do so.
Ilnari nodded. It goes against all strategic sense, unless there is an ulterior purpose to these incursions. Zulthil set his jaw. Do you think this entire situation an elaborate ruse, father? Asked Doroth. Zulthil stopped pacing and eyed his son.
I don't know. But whatever we decide, we must consider that the Mali Shahs wanted us to act in such a manner. This is a simple matter, my son, said Zumel Thessarinsar. Tardalim's location is known, and our enemy has a means to free its captives. This place is no longer secure. I propose that we begin an evacuation of its inhabitants. One prisoner has already escaped, and a powerful one at that. We must seal off the mountain and use the caverns outside the exit as a staging area for sending the prisoners to a realm of exile.
Doroth raised a finger. I know you think it an arduous task, father, and it is, but it is necessary. Shemrenol is willing to aid us, Ilnari said, and we will enlist the Isharian collective. Doroth nodded in agreement.
Ilnari and I will regularly check on Tardalim. Exiling the prisoners will probably take 50-some-odd years.
He gestured to Felinia.
Perhaps she can aid us in that regard. If only I can mend her, Zulthil thought. We should formalize this decision, said Zumel Thessarinsar. Are you in agreement with us, my son?
Zulthil considered the dilemma. Vayam had been determined to free Tardalim's prisoners, and her cohorts were no less zealous. The Mandalorians would come again, and if the Mali Shah had the means of replicating those nullifiers, they might come as well. Then there was the matter of Helleron.
But would he return to this prison after fleeing it?
Sighing, he pushed aside the thought.
You have my support, but we should return the Shiznak to where it belongs and receive another from the real Shah.
That is sound, Ilnari said. With the proof we have, receiving a tethering stone from them will not be painful. Zumel Thessarinsar folded his arms and took a deep breath.
Then it is settled. Tardalum will be purged and its prisoners exiled.